for tuning in to this week's episode of the Speaking of Resilience podcast. I'm Kate Madigan, your host, and with the Michigan Climate Action Network, or MICAN. And this podcast is also brought to you by the Groundwork Center. Today, we have a special episode. We're going to hear from Kelly Speaks Bachman, the Acting Assistant Secretary for the U.S. Department of Energy. And we're going to hear about the many opportunities in the federal government to move forward policy and investments in clean energy and to address the climate crisis. This episode was recorded when the Assistant Secretary Speaks Bachman spoke at the Michigan Climate and Clean Energy Summit on May 25th. Howard Lerner, Executive Director of the Environmental Law and Policy Center, introduced the Assistant Secretary and led a great conversation with her. They dive into the ways the Department of Energy is ramping up clean energy and addressing the climate crisis. It's a really fascinating and engaging conversation that gives so much insight into the inner workings of the federal government right now around energy. I hope you enjoy it.
Jim, thank you very much. It's been a good 20 years working with you in Groundwork. As Jim said, I'm the Executive Director of the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and I'm a proud member of the Groundwork Advisory Council. It is a tough act to follow Carrie Dugan and Lisa Wozniak, but I have the honor and privilege of introducing Acting DOE Assistant Secretary Kelly Speaks Bachman, who's been a colleague and a friend for a number of years. U.S. Department of Energy's ERE, Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Office, is the point agency, the point division in the federal government that really is charged with the deployment, the R&D, and really making energy efficiency and renewable energy happen in combination and partnership with the states across our nation. I mean, this is the pivotal place at the U.S. Department of Energy, and Assistant Secretary Kelly Speaks Bachman is in the point seat, in the main seat, to get this happening. And she's wonderfully qualified to do it. Kelly served as the CEO of the Energy Storage Association, with whom we work closely. Solar plus energy storage is a game changer, as we all know, in the electricity sector. Before that time, Kelly served as the Senior Vice President for the Alliance to Save Energy, focused on policy and research, and as a commissioner of the Maryland Public Service Commissioner, and a long list of other things that you can find on her bio and LinkedIn. You're not here to listen to me. You're here to hear from Acting Assistant Secretary, DOE, Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, Kelly Speaks Bachman. Ball to Kelly, and then we'll have a conversation between us.
Terrific.
Thank you, Kelly, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Howard and Jim. It's a pleasure to meet you. I am just really so honored to speak here today on behalf of the Department of Energy and behalf of the audience's former Governor, Secretary Granholm. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to share some perspectives on the priorities of our work in partnership with many of you to build a clean energy economy and to tackle that climate crisis. So last month, we marked the first 100 days of the Biden administration, and we hit the ground running. I think the world sees an administration that's really united and thinking big about this. The president has laid out a very bold goal of putting America on a pathway to build a 100% clean energy economy with net zero emissions no later than 2050. The president also understands that the transition to this clean energy future is going to create hundreds of thousands of good-paying jobs while ensuring affordable and reliable energy options for American citizens. And this is demonstrated in his American Jobs Plan, which is focused on building our country back better as we continue to blaze a path toward away from COVID-19. Jobs Plan, as many of you know, reflects the administration's priorities on climate and energy. State and local leaders would be eligible to receive Build Back Better Challenge grants for deploying new clean energy technologies in their communities. The plan expands our weatherization assistance program, which focuses on disadvantaged American families on a national scale, providing energy efficiency retrofits to low-income families in every county and five U.S. territories every year. The jobs plan would also establish a new energy efficiency and clean electricity standard that ensures that we can take the full advantage of these investments and hit the 100% carbon pollution-free power by 2035, all while slashing people's electricity bills. And there's a major investment in American manufacturing, including $52 billion in the American Jobs Plan for access to capital programs that will modernize our supply chains, and a $46 billion investment in the domestic manufacturing of clean energy, storage, building, and EV technologies. So in short, the American Jobs Plan is really representing the most ambitious climate action plan the United States has ever seen. And when it passes, the DOE will dive right in to help carry it out. We're playing a critical role in helping to achieve the vision of the future. We're collaborating with our 17 national laboratories, which are incredible engines of innovation and assets for our country. And over the past decade, our investments in clean energy and sustainable technologies have cleared the pathway for major leaps in cost competitiveness of technologies like wind and solar. So we're going to build on this progress. We're focused on three tracks as a department when it comes to clean energy. One, we're doubling down on innovation to keep advancing American-made technologies. Two, we're putting policies in place that deploy new technologies at scale. And I will underscore, we are looking to deploy new technologies. And then third, we're investing in American manufacturing to ensure that the next great innovations in technologies like car batteries are made in Detroit and not China. I know when I speak for the secretary that when I say I'm proud of the progress that we've made in our first 100 days alone. We announced across Department of Energy $1 billion for clean energy solutions already that advance critical technologies. We set a bold goal for deploying 30 gigawatts of offshore wind and another goal to cut the cost of solar energy in half by 2030. We stood up the first ever Office of Energy Jobs to make sure that we don't lose sight of our central focus of creating new economic opportunities and economic justice, especially for workers and communities that have been neglected for far too long. We have an incredible opportunity to put Americans to work, harnessing the potential of clean energy. So just a little bit, if you'll indulge me, about Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Office, or EERE. Our team is heavily focused on carrying out the department's focus on deployment of clean energy technologies. We have established five programmatic priorities to accelerate this transition. Number one, to achieve this carbon-free electricity sector by 2035. Our focus is on supporting a range of all the emerging technologies from generation to efficiency to transportation and storage that are going to allow us to reliably meet all of our electricity needs from clean renewable sources. Two is decarbonizing the transportation sector. This is now the largest source of our nation's greenhouse gases. And for one example, we're going to support the national build-out of charging infrastructure for electric vehicles, supporting the president's goal to deploy 500,000 new public charging points across the country by 2030. The third is decarbonizing energy-intense industries like manufacturing. We're focused on leveraging renewable energy to help electrify the processes, using hydrogen to decarbonize industries like steel, and vastly improving energy efficiency. Fourth is reducing the carbon footprint of buildings across the nation. It's our bread and butter, really. Decarbonizing buildings are going to be approached by first decarbonizing the grid, so the power that goes into those buildings, then electrifying a significant share of building end uses like space and water heating, and then improving the efficiency of buildings and equipment like heating and lighting systems. Finally, we are focusing on enabling a net zero agricultural sector, providing savings to farmers and rural communities across the country. Our focus there is on supporting the modernization, the security, and resilience of our interconnected food, water, and energy systems. So each of these priorities, these five priorities, focuses, I just want to point out, on a sector, not a specific technologies, which reflects the cross-cutting nature of these challenges that are in front of us. It's an opportunity for us all to collaborate across our technology offices, across our labs, and with partners and stakeholders like you to ensure that we meet our objectives based on clear goals and clear metrics. And then lastly, I'd just like to say that point out that we're really approaching all of this work through the lens of environmental justice, a core principle of the Biden administration. We have to build back this clean energy economy in a way that benefits all Americans and addresses the environmental injustices that disproportionately affect communities of color, low-income communities, and Indigenous communities alike. The success of these industries will depend on attracting diverse talent in order to produce a diverse set of solutions to our challenges. Our workforce and industries have to look like America. Our workforce investments must also provide a pathway forward for communities and workers who've already risked their lives to produce fossil fuels in the past. We're establishing a task force to help these transition communities to access federal investments and leveraging private industry investments to help create good paying union jobs and careers based on the unique assets of each of these communities. So in closing, if I were the secretary here today, I would say we got a lot of work to do. We do have a lot of work to do with this transition to a clean energy economy, and we cannot do it without the help of many partners, states, local governments, business, labor, entrepreneurs, activists, innovators, communities. We're going to be partnering with you all on a range of programs and projects, and we really can build back better for a clean energy future that's going to benefit all Americans. So thank you very much for listening to me. I look forward to the conversation.
Well, let me just say, wow. You know, what you've laid out in 10 minutes is an agenda that could be this administration plus three more. So it's ripe for a lot of questions. We could probably go for an hour. Let's see if we can do some rapid fire speed dating variety Q&A, Kelly. The first is, let's go. So utility scale solar is moving quickly. It's accelerating a lot in recent years, much faster than distributed solar generation plus storage. So what do you have in mind at DOAE as technology improves to really increase the growth of solar on the customer side of the meter? How are you thinking about distributed clean energy resources in combination with climate resilience?
Great question. There are a number of ways that we're looking at expanding the distributed solar and storage applications. Number one, getting the cost down. We're going to cut in half the cost of solar yet again by 2030. So first of all, making it more affordable for folks to be able to take those options. And number two, we're taking a look at how we develop our funding opportunities and how inclusive we have been in these funding opportunities to really be able to reach out to a broader audience of folks to be able to take advantage of some of the deployment work that we're going to be doing. And then the third part that we're doing, really, when we talk about decreasing the costs of solar, it's not just the solar panels themselves, not just the cells, but it's really the soft costs. So looking at what we can do to help support at a local level and a state level, the interconnection standards to expedite, what can we do to help the interconnection standards and the permitting issues. And then I would say last, really looking at some of the work that we're doing to help support community solar for those who may not have the rooftop space like myself, really trying to get that to more places more applicably.
You know, you're so right on the soft costs in that, you know, the cost of panels has come down and they become more efficient. But getting interconnection standards to work really easily and standardized and getting permitting to be more streamlined at the local level is so important. There was a lot of good work done with the states and the cities during the Obama administration on that. How do you, you know, what are you going to do next to make that work better?
Reach back out. You pull out my Rolodex. I'm sorry, I just love saying Rolodex because people don't remember that. But, you know, really, it's getting back in.
I have a Rolodex too.
I saved mine just for fun. But really, it's getting back in touch with the states. And I have to say that the Department of Energy in particular did a lot of really great work when it came at least to energy storage. And the work that they did really to advance storage to help with that resilience issue is going to be just as important in this administration as it was in the last and as it was and should have been in the Obama administration. But storage has come so much further, as you can imagine, that we're really starting to see that being deployed. I would say, we have already had multiple meetings with the national associations like NARUC and NASIO, making sure that we're in touch with those policymakers and those regulators to help them understand our intent and to help ourselves understand what their priorities are. Because we can't just come at them with one broad stroke priority. We've got to figure out what each of the states needs so that we can help to fulfill those needs and to build our research programs and our deployment programs around them.
Well, you're in a terrific position to do that, having formerly been a commissioner at the Maryland Public Service Commission. You know, the old joke is, we're from the government, we're here to help. But I think you're right. The states and the cities really are looking to the federal government. They're looking to your agency and ERE really to help them be able to do the stuff, particularly on technical things like, advanced trans technologies, grid modification, interconnection standards. How about if we shift over to, everybody gets excited about renewables, and then there's energy efficiency, and, your agency is ERE. Energy efficiency actually comes first in that.
Yeah.
Energy efficiency, best, fastest, cheapest climate solution, saves people and businesses money on their utility bills, reduces pollution, creates jobs, it can be implemented fast. What's on your agenda? What's high on your agenda on the EE side?
Oh my gosh, it's such an important building block for really making sure that we can get ourselves to this clean energy economy in the most effective and the most efficient and the most economic way possible, right? Even back a decade ago, we were talking about, number one, use less. Number two, make more of the good stuff. And number three, share. And I think one of the things that we're doing in DOE right now, and in ERE specifically, but across DOE, is looking at the sectors and how we can impact them. So looking at the building sector. And we're no longer saying only start with efficiency. We're saying, how can we look at the whole building and really resolve an issue of the folks that are living in that building or working in that building? And that issue is, number one, how do you make it more comfortable? How do you make it more affordable? How do you make it more efficient? And how do we clean up the air for our future? And that includes absolutely energy efficiency first, as you're putting that together, but not strictly alone, right? So this is about combining energy efficiency with the renewable power, with storage for resilience, and then being able to make an real impact on people in that way. And I think when you think of it in terms of more of a system, you tend to not forget about one pillar or another.
You're so right. How do you put it all together? And in a different way, you were talking about putting it all together for a net zero agricultural sector. Often we forget about the opportunities in rural America. At the Environmental Law and Policy Center, we worked with a number of our colleagues on the program, the Rural Energy for America program. How are you looking at what can be done in the rural sector? Groundwork, a number of in Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin are really looking to move forward with community energy districts in which they aggressively implement energy efficiency on family farms and in small towns, do the sort of distributed renewable energy and storage you're talking about. Tease out a little bit, if you would, that fifth pillar you talked about, a net zero agricultural community sector.
Sure. It includes many of the things that you just mentioned, Howard, but also let's add on that nexus between energy and water and the water used for agricultural sector. How do we get the energy use more efficient for that water? And how do you get the water use more efficient to use less energy? So that's another aspect of it. I would say also the work vehicles that are used on the farms. How can we bring electric vehicles or other resources to bear to really decarbonize that sector? Because as part of the transportation sector, which is the largest contributor to greenhouse gases, agriculture has a part of that as well. And so we're really kind of looking at the entirety of the system from the agricultural's point of view, not just saying, hey, we've got some solar and you can put some sheep underneath it.
Yeah,
although that's anybody, kind of cool too.
Yeah, for anybody who spends time or lives in rural America, the number of old pumps and old motors that are operating that are highly energy efficient just is a opportunity for progress, both to reduce pollution and to save people money on their water and their electricity bills. I mean, those old pumps and motors have been cranking away for years. Today's modern technology is so much better. Speaking of modern technology, the Environmental Law and Policy Center and the Center for Renewables Integration just put out a report on advanced transmission technologies. Folks like John Wellinghoff and Karinia Kdyk were involved in it. And the pitch here is that you can take the existing system and really get much more capacity out of the existing grid and use technologies that make our system work so much more efficiently. Have you been looking at that at DOE? And, you know, where does that fit in terms of the broader initiatives you're describing?
Well, certainly, we have been looking at that, especially through Pat Hoffman's Office of Electricity within Department of Energy. And I might add, who better than a former FERC chairman to tell us about how we can be more efficient about our transmission grid without the constraints of being on the board anymore. But so we have been looking at how to make sure that we are being as efficient as possible, not just in the generation of, for example, wind power in the plain states and bringing that to the pockets of population, but really how do we get the transmission more efficient in order to do so? And also I think, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we announced a 30 gigawatt offshore wind goal. Transmission is going to be a huge part of that play as we coordinate with the Department of Interior, with the Department of Commerce through NOAA and FERC. We really want to make sure that they're involved in the conversation to make sure we can get that backbone both offshore and coming into the line. So there's a lot of work on transmission that is related to renewables and related to being more efficient. I think, you know, more efficient transmission lines are just another form of energy efficiency, right?
Exactly. I know that Jim Lively is going to tell us in a minute or so. This is a great conversation, but we need to get moving. So the last comment goes to you. Just, you're looking at the vast portfolio you have. I know you are drinking out of 10 different fire hoses. What's the one thing that the people at this conference in Michigan, the clean energy, can do that you think would be most effective in terms of supporting your current agenda at ERE and really getting things done so that 2 years, 3 years from now, 4 years, we really will have made a major difference? Give us our assignment.
I've heard people saying you must be drinking from a fire hose. And it cracks me up because my image of this is more like getting hit in the face with a tsunami.
All right.
That said, I mean, that's...
You get to control the analogy.
But that said, I would say, you know, the most effective way and the best way that we can help ourselves to meet these climate goals is really to help all Americans understand how important it is, not just for our climate, but for our economy. And that these new clean jobs, 3/4 of power generation that was put on the grid last year was solar and wind combined, right? These are creating the new jobs. And what we want to do at the Department of Energy is, you know, put that on hyperspeed and see what we can do to make sure that wind and solar and geothermal and hydropower are the most cost-effective technologies that you can put on the grid. And that's going to create a new economy for us, a broadened economy. And so for those folks who are watching today, I would say support of the American Jobs Plan. That is really going to be a very effective way of just going all in for us to invest in our clean energy of future.
All right. Acting Assistant Secretary Kelly Speaks-Bachman, thank you for all that you're doing. And more importantly, thank you for what you will be doing over the next 3 years to really accelerate energy efficiency and renewable energy. Thanks for joining us today, and let us know what we can do working with you to help succeed. Okay?
Thank you so much, Howard.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Speaking of Resilience podcast. You can find more episodes of the Speaking of Resilience podcast at our website, groundworkcenter.org/podcast, miclimateaction.org/podcast, or on all major podcast platforms. If you appreciate this content and want more of it, stay up to date by subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen in. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps other listeners find the Speaking of Resilient podcast. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at Groundwork Center and at MI Climate Action. Speaking of Resilience is created by the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities and the Michigan Climate Action Network. This episode was produced by Taylor Kramer of Cold Shower Media in collaboration with Nick Loud of the Boardman Review.